Kirshner from Caltech, and he'll be talking about modular forms and collabi outdoors.
Okay, thank you very much. I will write one thing, that is that this work is really sort of still ongoing for the past 2 years, and it's joined with an outbreak geometer from India called Kapil Paranjali. Pronouncing his name may be harder than anything in the talk. It's kind of pronounced like
Can you say it again?
Pranjpay.
Okay.
Pranjpay.
Sorry.
Is Pranj?
Pranj is something to do. Bird or fly or something. Yeah. Okay. All right. So,
the one to respond are already in. If you hit one more switch, it'll.
I don't know. Can you see it well? I mean,
last two have not been.
Try one of those.
Is it better or worse?
This
one.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so don't worry, I'm not going to show you all the pages you see here. I could, towards the end, I could kind of do like we do channel flipping on TV. But I'll try to, I think it's something that I've been working on for a couple of years, as I said, and Carl again told me that I should make it accessible for graduate students, so I'll try to start and give some prehistory in the beginning, and I'll try to get into what I'm interested in. Shouldn't I'm happy to do that, but anyway. Okay, so first I want to say a few things about modular form. A lot of people in the beginning are recalling things, and so I'm interested in weights, at least two, and looking at a congruent subgroup of SL2Z. And I would be interested in gamma 1 of n, and also sometimes in gamma 0 of n. So gamma 1 of n, maybe I should write some of these things. So gamma 0 of n, you all know, but I can say this is all the matrices and maybe in SL2C, where n divides c. And then gamma 1 of n is things there that are, where a and d are also congruent to 1 mod n. And so they act on the upper half plane by fractional linear transformations, and they use the symbol sk of gamma, which is a usual symbol for the space of cusp forms of weight k and congruent subgroup gamma. And so f gamma z acts by cz plus d of k. I'm not allowing any characters, I'm going to work with trivial characters. But first, in certain cases, you might want to extend it. It's not very serious. And then the upper half plane, the gamma acts on the upper half plane. You can look at the projective line over Q, and you can think of it as the rational points on the line on the real line, so that's the point at infinity. The gamma acts on it, and the set of orbits is finite, and that's called the cusp. And one considers the quotient of the upper half plane mod gamma. Oops, sorry. So you can take the upper half plane modulo gamma, and this is an interesting Riemann surface, and one can compactify this by just adding H union this P1 of Q divided by gamma. And so this is, and this has a model for a number field, which is called the modular curve, which was already discussed by Bjorn in his talk. And so anytime you have a modular form, like this in the groups I'm interested in, like gamma 0 n, there is this translation element, which is given by the matrix 1, 1, 0, 1. And because of that, you have a Q expansion. All right. So, and one of the reasons this is very interesting is, of course, that if you're given any point z on the upper half plane, you can look at the elliptic curve, complex elliptic curve, given by quotient in c, by the lattice generated by 1 and Z. And if you go through it, as one sees, for example, in Sayre's course in arithmetic for grad students, so you see that the upper half-plane modulo the action of SL2Z can be identified with elliptic curves up to isomorphism to over C. So this portion H mark gamma, which is ignored at Y gamma, if you might notice, so it parameterizes elliptic curve to isomorphism plus some additional structures. Like, for example, if you take gamma 1 of n, then it parameterizes elliptic curve to the point of order n. And if you take gamma 0, then it parameterizes elliptic curve as subgroup of order n. So we will make use of that later. So anyway, so k equals 2 is very special. People have spent a lot of time worrying about k equals 2. And if you just translate what it means for a function to be a cusp form of A2, if you look at f of z dz, it's going to be gamma invariant. And because dz transforms like c z plus z squared, so that what happens is this differential defines an invariant differential. And because it's a cusp form, meaning it vanishes at the cusp, it's going to extend to the compactification, which is called x of n. And so these were studied quite a bit by classically Fricke and Klein, but much more in this century by Eichler and then Shimura. So one of the things that happens is that this X gamma, which is a compact Riemann surface, which is by Riemann's theorem, it's an algebraic curve over C, it can be defined over a number field for a general gamma, for gamma 0n or gamma 1 of n, you can define it over Q. And when you look at the first cohomology of X gamma, it has a, in some sense, a hard decomposition. You can decompose the cohomology classes as being those represented by holomorphic one-forms and the anti-holomorphic one-forms. And the holomorphic one-forms are all spanned by the cusp forms. And that's why these are very interesting, studying cusp forms, because they give you the holomorphic part of H1 of this curve. And so you can write it as a direct sum here. Okay, and there are also Hecke operators one wants to look at. And for every endurance, say, prime to this fixed level that I'm working with, you're given by some explicit formula, the Hecke operator. In a sense, it's not a very good thing to think about. It's better to think of it, you can actually define it in turn as a correspondence between an X gamma to itself. So essentially, you go to the covering of X gamma, and then you push down. So I'm not describing it explicitly, so I don't have too much time, but at least you can take down the explicit formula, and you see that from that formula, you see how it acts on the differentials and the cohomology. But we can actually think of it much more geometrically as a correspondence, which acts on cohomology. Okay, so now one of the basic results about modular forms is that the Hecke operators, these things can be simultaneously diagonalized in the space of cusp forms. And they also have a decomposition in terms of what is called new forms and old forms. And the new forms are those eigenforms that are not coming from smaller levels dividing. This n is called level, for levels dividing n. So for example, if you take weight 2 forms, and if you take n to be a prime, then you don't have to worry about holding the other arm down. So it could be the first case to consider. So anyway, so you have sk, but of course higher weights, there are lots of things at level 1, and one of the most interesting forms is the delta function. Okay, so one of the most motivating theorems for us is the theorem of Shimura. In fact, this was proved, I think, for some special cases already by Eichler. That's what I was told. And by the way, I should tell you that I'm not very good in history. So do not quote me. He said that Shimura first proved. I don't know. All I know is that it's in a paper of Shimura. Who first proved it? I'm like, but I think that he did prove it in the great general. But some cases I think are already designed, as Xavier pointed out. Okay, so now if you take
modular form, a cut form of wave 2, and which is a new form, and if you write the Fourier coefficient with an left times q of the n, and then you always normalize these new forms so that the first Fourier coefficient is 1. It's one of the basic things for new forms that you can always, you know that the first coefficient is non-zero, so you normalize it. And you take those so that once you normalize it, you can ask where is the field in which all the coefficients lie. And it's a basic result that because the Hecke operators are all, in some sense, defined over Z, you can actually prove that they are defined over a number of fields. All the coefficients are over a number of fields. And you could consider those that are actually defined over two. So all the coefficients are rational. Those are the simplest things. And he proved that there's an elliptic curve over Q. And the notion, there's a notion of a conductor for an elliptic curve, and that is exactly n. He did not exactly prove that. Okay, that's why he put it in parentheses. It was a final result, I think, that was proved later. But such that what happens is that for almost all p I've written, but in fact for p not belying n, this ap of the modular form, which is the coefficient that you have up there. And I use different font so that I know that the ans up there look different from the aps down here. But it's the same thing, it's a mistake. So and then that's equal to the ap of the elliptic curve, which is just p plus 1 minus the number of points of the elliptic curve over the time. This is a very beautiful result, and it's led to a lot of great mathematics. And as I say, I'm doing prehistory at this point. But it's still very important, and this is the result that Kapil and I started trying to understand more generally. Try to see. Okay. So maybe I should make a couple of remarks. Is that when n is 11, one knows that the, I put sk, which is a mistake, s2 of gamma 0 of n, one knows that it's one dimensional. And that's also the dimension of holomorphic one forms on the modular curve. So the modular curve x0 of 11 is itself an elliptic curve in this case, and it's isogenous to x1. So in that case, the elliptic curve is obtained just by looking at the modular curve. So if you take general n, the basic idea is you take the Jacobian, like Doug was considering, of the modular curve, and what Shimura proved is that there is an elliptic curve factor of this Jacobian, which is defined over Q when f is a rational coefficient, which is called EF. And the first cohomology of the elliptic curve, the first contains the holomorphic one form, which is a piece, the one-dimensional piece sitting inside the holomorphic one form of the curve, which is the same as the Jacobian. And to prove that the APs are equal, the key point is that the Hecke correspondence, EP, is compatible with the Frobenius correspondence. The way it acts on all the L to the n division points for some prime L. Another way to think of it is that if you reduce modulo p, the Hecke correspondence plus its transpose is Frobenius. In fact, it's called a congruence relation. That's how he proved this. It's a really major result. So, really spectacular. So, of course, I should mention that now one can reverse this arrow from the cusp forms to elliptic curve. You can go back and start from the elliptic curve and then find a cusp form of the same right level and rational coefficient by the works of Wiles and Taylor and Diamond, Conrad, and Breuer. So, but as I say here, that I'm going to be interested mainly in the so-called easy direction, which is the Shimura direction. All right. So if k is bigger than 2, so the most important example in some sense is a delta function. This is kind of the first modular form that many of us learned about, which he came to because he was trying to understand the number of ways of representing an integer as a sum of 24 squares. And he was trying to get an exact formula for it. And he couldn't, because there was a cusp form of weight 12. For SL2Z, and that prevented this, so he could only do it approximately. And he conjectured, the Monaghan conjectured, that the p coefficient of this is bounded by 2p to 11 over 2. And this was proved by Galeen, which is long ago, and it's one of the most famous results in mathematics. And he proved it for all cus forms of new forms of a k. And he's still, there is a version for k equals 1, it was there, and there. We are not going to consider it. Maybe I could say a couple of things about the basic idea of deleting. This idea actually had been considered by other people, but they were running into a geometric problem that deleting could solve. So if you take a new form of some weight bigger than 2, you consider this differential. You take upper half plane cross the complex vector space of dimension k minus 2, and you, with coordinates u1 through uk minus 2, and you just consider this differential, f of z dz, where dz1 up to duk minus 2. And this differential, the first point, I don't know who first observed this, but in any case, this is gamma tilde invariant, where gamma tilde is a semi-direct product of z to the k minus 2 by gamma. Gamma acts on the z to the k minus 2 by a natural k minus 2 dimensional representation. Maybe it should be, sorry, it should be twice that dimension. Okay, yeah, because it's really, you want it to be a lattice in c to the k minus 2, so it should really be 2 times k minus 2, z to the 2 times k. Okay, so since this is gamma tilde invariant, again, you get a differential omega f, just like we did in the weight 2 case, but now this differential does not live on the modular curve, it rather lives on the universal family. So you have this universal elliptic curve, you take any point z if you like, you can look at the elliptic curve, you get what is called an elliptic surface over this, and then you take the fiber product of this for a certain number of times, and then and this, it lives with the it defines a differential and a cohomology class on this total space over this module. It's a fiber variety, sometimes people call it. It's an E gamma R defines the R-fold fiber product of the universal family in the sense that given a point, there's an actual elliptic curve you associate. That gives you E gamma. Okay, so that is the basic idea. And of course, you could go further. Once you have this universal fiber product, then this fiber product is actually, say, defined over Q. And you can also consider the elliptic et al. Cohomology for any prime L. And then the Galois group acts on this cohomology. And the Hecker correspondences can be lifted to the correspondences here on this fiber variety. And they also act on the not just the classical cohomology that I've been looking at, but also the elliptic cohomologies. So therefore, they give you, you can decompose it according to the action of Hecker. So you get some Galois representations, and you can sort of pick out a piece that corresponds to f. In fact, if f is rational coefficient, you can pick out a two-dimensional piece, which is a representation of Galois q bar over q, which lies in the cohomology of this fiber variety. And then you can do what you want. So I put a tilde here, and tilde, really, what I mean here is that I mean some suitable compactification for this k. And the E gamma. So the fiber product, it's very delicate. This was one of his contributions. It's also like he could understand well the compactification of the fiber product. And he could also understand it more or less over Z. But for low levels, somehow you have to work with stacks and not real varieties. So these difficult algebra geometric problems were what preventing various people before from proving Ramanujan conjecture. They knew it should work this way, but they couldn't make it work. But of course, they couldn't have proved the Ramanujan conjecture. They would have reduced it to the Weyl conjectures, which Deligne proved anyway in another way. So I don't think they could have avoided using Deligne, but in any case. I'm sorry?
It was twice saved.
Yeah, hey, if you're going to use them once, why not use it twice? All right, so that was a basic idea to produce this. So let me just state again the Deligne's theorem. It says that if you have a new form of type K, supposedly k greater than or equal to, but it didn't come out well, sorry. And too many equals. So. And then two coefficients in L of prime, then there is a Galois stable two-dimensional subspace of M L of F. I didn't say what it is. But in sitting inside the Eladic cohomology of this fibrograph, such that every prime not dividing n times L, and of course you can vary L, then AP of F, the pth Fourier coefficient of this innocent-looking modular form, is the trace of Frobenius. This is one of the most spectacular theorems. Really great. And he also proved the determinant of this two-dimensional representation is k minus first power of what is called the cyclotomic character, which is just given by the action of the Galois group on all the L power roots of unit. Okay, so sometimes people say this ML is the Eladic avatar of this motive attached to this form F. So you can also attach what's the Q hard structure. We looked at the Kalprex cohomology, but you can also look at the Q cohomology, and then you will get a Q hard structure attached to that. And the main thing is that the hard type is going to be k minus 1, 0, 0, k minus 1. This is kind of important. As we saw in the wave 2 case, the hard types, we had holomorphic one forms and anti-holomorphic one forms. You can think of them as type 1, 0, 0, 1. So this is a natural generalization. Okay. I should say some digression on the inverse direction. So there's this thing called the general Langlands philosophy now, and in special cases it's already was conjectured by Serre in this case. Like, if you have any... So motive, what is a motive? I mean, it's not the right place to discuss what a motive is, but essentially a motive is a piece, loosely speaking, it's a piece of a smooth projective variety that's cut out by correspondences. There are some more things you allow, like tape twists. So if you have, say, a motive, and if it's kind of two-dimensional, and it's defined, the motive over Q with Q coefficients, and the hard type is K minus 1, 0, 0, K minus 1, that means that there should be a new form of weight K and Q coefficients such that F is related to this ML, exactly the way in Deligne's theorem. There are lots of, now there are, there are different people, number of people working on this, which is very interesting, and they're trying to prove this, which is quite spectacular. But we decided, Kapil and I decided not to look at this direction because in some sense, this is, having spent some years of my life proving things that Langdon's conjectures, because it's like the conjectures are overwhelming, and in some sense everything is more or less predicted, you might say. And the difficulty is in proving it. So I was interested in finding something where it's not already predicted by Langdon's. So I thought, okay. Okay, here's a kind of a hopeful conjecture, which may or may not be true. I hope it is true. Is that if you take a new form of weight k, then you hope that, and if it has, there's a big error here, should say q coefficients. Please put it in, okay? I'll fix it when I go in. So if you have a new form with rational coefficients and weight k, then one wonders if the motive of this occurs in the cohomology in degree k minus 1 of a Calabi-Yagra. So I digress and say what Calabi-Yagra is. So. Of dimension k minus 1. So I've tried to give some very simple, already difficult in some sense, proof examples, but that's what we hope. In fact, we hope for a lot more. Why not? I mean, it's like, when I told Langlands this, he said, well, when you go for it, make the most general conjecture. Maybe later. That's why it's 46 pages. So, I don't know if it's true, but at least there's no counterexample. So if you have a counterexample, that would be interesting. But anyway, so what is a Calabi-Yagra variety and why do we care? So maybe I should say that elliptic curves, in some sense, are very natural objects that are kind of ubiquitous. Everybody studies them all the time. They're very nice. And when you generalize them, there are in some sense two directions in which you can generalize. One direction is to go into abelian varieties. And they are group varieties, and they're very much like elliptic curves. and they have lots of similar property, but the Calabi-Yau variety is also generalizations of elliptic curves in a different direction. And somehow from this modular game, somehow naturally the Calabi-Yau varieties seem to be to come pretty naturally in higher roots. So maybe I'll come to that. So maybe I should digress since I'm supposed to explain to grad students. I should say very briefly what Calabi-Yau manifolds are and also what I mean by Calabi-Yau variety. Okay. So Calabi-Yau manifold, imagine you're working over complex numbers. Doesn't matter if you, so it's a smooth projective variety. It has two basic properties. One is that the canonical bundle, I will explain so in a minute, is trivial. This is certainly true for elliptic curves and also abelian varieties. So that's one basic thing that you would want to have. And the second thing you want to have is that the HM, the nth cohomology of the structure sheet of X, should be zero for all M, strictly between zero and the dimension. And if you like, a canonical bundle is this, it's a holomorphic line bundle, it's defined by taking the determinant, this tangent bundle. And locally, it's just different. Generated by dz1 wedge up to dzn, where z1 through zn are the coordinates, local coordinates. So one also wants to look at the anti-canonical bundle. So if you make this definition for Calabi-Yau variety, then the second condition, of course, is HMXOX. That's the same thing by duality, because you're looking at X smooth projective variety, is HM0, so the space of holomorphic M forms on X, dealing with that. So that we say is zero when M is strictly between zero and M. So it's not hard to see that Calabi-Yau manifolds over C, or over any algebraically closed fields, an elliptic curve. If you work with non-algebraically closed field, you would want to throw in perhaps that there is a rational point. Otherwise, it's not an elliptic curve in dimension one. So, and then in dimension two, these are K3 surfaces. In dimension three, important examples are given by smooth quintic hypersurfaces. So you should think of elliptic curves and K3 surfaces. And this, for example, the simplest K3 surface becomes what it is one, perhaps to take E cross E, where E is an elliptic curve, and then you divide by the points of order 2, and then you get a surface which is singular with 16 points, singular points, which you blow up to get the K3. It's called a corner surface associated to E cross E. And in some sense, Calabi-Yau variety is generalized that. So K3 surfaces and abelian surfaces, in some sense, are similar, but not quite. Like K3 surfaces have no H1. H1 is zero. Where first, in an abelian surface, H1 is two-dimensional. So if you take, classically, when people talk about a Calabi-Yau manifold, I should say, it's a complex Taylor manifold. I just want to say something, it's not really historical, but for people who see it differently, it used to be with finite Pi1 and SUN holonomy. This is really, strictly speaking, only true for n bigger than 1, of course. N equals 1, you can't have finite Pi1. But the equivalence of the definitions is due to Yao. And also, I should mention there is a result of Bobil, proved also by Bogomolov, that if you take any smooth projective variety, which is trivial canonical bundle, so you can ask, what structure does it have? After replacing it by a finite et al. Covering, it's really a product of three types of spaces. One is a Calabi-Yau, and the other is what is called something with symplectic holonomy, and the third one is an abelian variety.
What is holonomy you mean?
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't get into this. The point is that holonomy is a differential geometric thing. Maybe I shouldn't say more about it.
Okay.
It has to do with moving along paths, and I will. I'll be happy to talk to you after the talk, because it'll take me about 5 minutes to give a proper definition.
Yeah. Jesus.
So anyway, I just wanted to say it because there are some people who study it this way, and I don't understand it this way, to be completely honest. I prefer the other definition I gave, which is more algebraic. And also the other definition makes sense over arbitrary fields, whereas this one doesn't make sense in general. So I will leave it at that for now. I'll be happy to talk later. As you see, hey, I've counted 17 or 46. Maybe I can get there. Okay. So in general, you don't want to, well, I actually want to look at Calabi-Yau manifolds in some sense in arbitrary high dimensions. So as I said, if you take a form of weight k, I want to look at a Calabi-Yau thing of dimension k minus 1. So that means you're going up to infinity. Very little is known. There's a lot of work about Calabi-Yau threefolds, and now also something about four-dimensional varieties. Very little is known in general. And their resolution, because many times they occur in a singular way, like already we saw with Kummer surfaces. And then to know that you have a good resolution to make a nice smooth model is not known in general. So it's better sometimes to work with Calabi-Yau varieties that allow some mild singularity. So this is what we're gonna do. And then, but in fact, we think there should be Calabi-Yau manifold attached to it, but that part is not known. What one calls Krepin resolutions, we don't know if they exist. I like the word Krepin, kind of like gonal, because it was introduced by, a gonal is like a piece of diagonal, right? Like Krepin is, because it comes from discrepancy, like it doesn't have a discrepancy, you remove the disc from the Krepin. So anyway, so what we want to say is we want to allow a projective variety. All you need is, in some sense, the canonical bunch should be defined, and then those conditions that I gave should hold. That's the definition. That's why I also don't want to define it using the omega m's. I want to just take the structure sheet, right? Which is also what you do, isn't it, right? That definition, right? The definition I gave is the same that you gave, I think, in Hangzhou. Okay, so anyway, to have this canonical bundle different, you can some nice conditions on it, which I don't want to go into right now. Say some words called Q Gorenstein varieties would be good. Okay, so because I want to go back to, in some sense, explain what happens. A geometric form also is that if you have a new form of weight K, and level n and q coefficient, then we would like to get a Calabi-Yau variety of dimension k minus 1, and there should be some algebraic correspondence. You can't, in the case of weight 2, you actually get a map from the modular curve to the elliptic curve, and here you don't expect necessarily a map, but there should be some algebraic correspondence which realizes this isomorphism in piece of the conformal. So, and this sort of should embed this motive of F inside this cohomology. And essentially, if you assume the Tate conjecture, conjecture A will impact you. But it's kind of nicer to think of the geometric way. Okay.
Do you expect the BF to be unique?
Oh, no. Well, I mean, you have to work with some birational models.
Yeah.
And then,
So on the open subset, it should look like a discrete portion of the
on an open subset. That's what I hope. Yeah. Okay. So, hey, that's the expectation. So anyway. I should tell you one important remark, that if you take gamma 1 of n, this f as rational coefficients means you can easily check that it either has trivial character or it's what is called CM type, which is in terminology of Ribbit, means it has admits a self-twist by a quadratic character, or equivalently attached to a Heckel character, an imaginary quadratic field. And then you could have a quadratic character at the time, so the modular form. So the one of the two must happen. But now, the reason I'm pointing this out is that if you take a new form f of odd weight, it cannot have a trivial character. So in fact, the only way you can get rational coefficients is, for in the odd weight case, is to be attached to a Heckel character with a quadratic character as a So that's kind of important, but it sort of fits in well with various other things, like Shioda's work and so on, and Wave 3. So I just wanted to point out that this, there's maybe a bigger thing to look for things that are, don't have rational coefficients, but I think you'll have to go outside Calabi-Yau to do that. And the most interesting things are forms of rational coefficients. So, okay. And, okay. You can also make analogous conjectures to Hilbert in modular and single modular forms. And maybe, let me at least point out that if you take a rank 4, a motive of rank 4, and for symplectic, attach to a Ziegle modular cusp form, genus 2, and weight 3, it's a Ziegle weight 3, it's like the classical weight 2, then it should be attached to A3 of a Calabi-Yau threefold. But this Calabi-Yau threefold will not be rigid, as one says. So essentially, what is rigid? So if you have a Calabi-Yau threefold, if you have a Calabi-Yau threefold, three-dimensional variety, so H1 of X is going to be 0. Therefore, this is also H3 of X. But H2, if you think of the classical case, okay, so you have H2, 0, plus H1, 1, excuse me, in the hard structure, this will be a holomorphic forms and then the mixed type and 0, 2. So this will have dimension 1 because the canonical bundle is trivial. This will also have dimension 1. And then this thing here may or may not be 0 for x. And if this is 0, so if H11 is 0, we say x is called rigid because whether you can vary this x depends on this H11. Actually, when it is 0, it is
very good. Sure,
I'm 3 dimensions. Did I say
H2 is 0?
Oh, sorry. I just put the wrong number, sorry. Excuse me. And these two are isomorphic. So this thing here, yeah, I apologize. So H210 means that X is right. So if you take a modular form of weight 4, so what we expect is some motive of F, you know, so attached to this Calabi-Yau threefold, so what it really means is that the 3-0-0-3 part splits off as a submodal. I don't necessarily require if it's in the classical modular form. So this is the, but if you take a Ziegle modular form, say which corresponds to some degree 4, then 2-1-1-2 need not be 0 again. So it will be non-rigid.
Why is this called rigid? Is it something to do with families?
Yeah, because H21, it's like, because H1T, right? That shows you about how to, yeah, it's rigid in the moduli space. It doesn't mean. But actually the way we conjecture, we don't necessarily say that there is a rigid Calabi-Yau attached to a modular form V4 in general. All we say is that there is a Calabi-Yau variety where 3-0-0-3 part splits off as a submodule, which is a little different. And it could be that you can always realize it in terms of a rigid, which just comes back to your question. So if there is a rigid one, there will be a unique one. I mean, if you claim that there should be one that is rigid. Sorry. Okay, so, all right, so I want to give some evidence. So this is some special case. So we first thought we would look at the cases where the dimension of space of such forms of new forms of weight k is dimension 1, right? And this is the simplest case to see if you have a Calabi-Yau variety. And if you look at this fiber variety that Deligne considered in all these cases, what happens is that they don't have trivial canonical bundles. So we have to, what we have to find in this case, the conjecture is right, is to find a birational model, which is a Calabi-Yau. Mm-hmm. So now some finite set of cases, we can produce them here, and it applies in particular to this delta function. So maybe I should
What time does it go for? 5?
5.
Oh,
okay. So let me just give you very concretely.
We didn't finish reading the slide.
Sorry. By the way, if you want, I can send you this. So you don't have to. I'm not saying that I will fast forward it. I'm getting used to watching cable TV. So this is the result. So there are, we have some other results also. In fact, we have another result that we are pretty close to, where the dimension of space of crust forms is dimension is 2. And I think in that case, the ones with forms, we can attach it to Calabria. But it's a bit of a trick there on some. So, but anyway. Okay, so anyway, when you look at these, when SK of gamma 1 of n is one-dimensional, like I do, I always go to Wolfenstein webpage, check, and you see this, these bunch of numbers that you get. So the ones in bold are the ones that we actually calculated so far. But it looks like every place we do, it seems to be true. And, of course, the weight 4 case is actually a threefold, so maybe I'll say something about that later. So if the dimension is the weight minus 1, the weight of the second order. So anyway, I'm giving an explicit example for 2-8, the generators, explicitly given by this Q expansion. Before I thought I would also mention some other example before I mention how Kapil and I proved this result, which is very long and complicated, which we are still writing. Okay, so Shioda proved that if k is 3 and n is 4, then in this case, in fact, the universal elliptic curve compacted by itself is a K3 surface, and then 2, 0, 0, 2 splits off. And everything else is spanned by the neuron severity. I mean, this is actually very easy to see. If you take any surface, you can put off the 2002, and the remaining stuff is rational. The hard conditions will be algebraic. Just normal. This is all neuron severity. So, and then here, as we know, that f is of CM type. And it's in fact a Kummer surface defined by the product of the CM elliptic curves. Okay, then Chad Schoen has there. By the way, I'm not going to give an exhaustive list of examples. There are lots of beautiful examples. And in fact, many people know these examples better than we do. But because, as I said, many people start with like Calabi-Yau threefolds, and then they try to see if they can attach a modular form. And what we are trying to do is, in some sense, go in the opposite direction. So in the case of k equals 4 and n is 1.5, so shown, Chad Schoen gives a beautiful example. It's a resolution of the quintic hypersurface, which is going to be kind of Fermat-like thing minus 5 times. It's a very beautiful result, which has 125 ordinary nodes that he has resolved. And he has some corresponding modular form. The reason I mentioned is that he doesn't actually show that this is exactly the right form for the threefold. It's not done yet. We've been trying to work on it to try to fix this. It's known for up to a large number of prime speed, the APs are the same. But we don't know in general. But it's a very beautiful paper.
Is that the Leibniz four?
Huh?
Is the Leibniz four?
Yeah.
Leibniz derived.
Mm-hmm. Because the FIs are made up in terms of the eta function. Right? Starting with the eta function, you can manufacture lots of forms.
Oh, but the result of F is
like, yeah. F is an eigenform, but not the F I.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, so also there is then maybe I'll mention one more thing. Saito and Norita Yui, and also they started with the work of Helen Zero, and they did gamma 0.6 and k equals 4 against a threefold example, dimension negative 1, and it's attached to a threefold to get from, to take a toric, right, given by the explicit formula here, and then they would take a double cover of it and resolve it. I should tell you that in all the examples, they're very special. You take something and you do something with your food, the structure of the variety that you have, like Puga variety, and then produce it. There is no general technique. That's one of the real things that are missing. What is missing, in some sense, is there is no analog of the Jacobian. That's the problem. When you take a wave two forms, you know what to do. You take the modular curve, you take the Jacobian. If it exists, then it should be a factor of the Jacobian. You can look for it. There is no such universal gadget here that you can sort of work with, that in which the Calabi-Yau should split off. So we don't know how to do that. So everything is kind of special. And so we first looked at the Calabi-Yau that are known to make sure that it fits with our conjecture. Okay, so there are also more examples. So maybe I should give an idea of proof of what to do with Kapil for the case of delta. I'm going to say some more. And delta, by the way, we're also interested in it for another reason, more than this conjecture, because we are very interested, we've been very interested in producing some, we've not succeeded yet. So we've produced what I call Calabi-Yau variety, that it's the singularity so far are very minimal. But what we would really like to get is a smooth projective variety over Q that'll, if it exists, you know, which carries this Galois representation attached to delta, because what we have in some sense from the universal elliptic curves, because it's level one, it's a stack. And for various reasons, it's important to have, like, if you want to compute it, mod p or something, then it's kind of interesting to actually try to find a nice variety. And we hope it'll be, in fact, a Calabi-Yau variety. So, okay. So essentially, now we take this tenfold fiber product with the universal elliptic curve. It's huge. It's 11-dimensional variety. And we want to prove that it's birational to the Calabi-Yau variety. And what is the basic idea? If you're given the universal elliptic curve over the modular curve, giving a point on the universal elliptic curve is the same thing as giving you a point. And so essentially, you take the moduli of curves of genus 1, and then you give 2 points, one for the origin and one extra point, to the point on the fiber. That's the way you produce it. So therefore, it's not hard to see that the R-fold fiber product of the universal elliptic curve is birational to the moduli space of genus 1 curve with R plus 1 marked points. So that's a very fundamental idea. And of course, this MGK in general has a compactification due to Dolinian number. But it turns out that this also doesn't have trivial canonical bundle. So you can't really just fool around easily and get something else. So what we do in some sense is to find another completely different model for this, in this case. So essentially, what we do is that we start with a surface. Let me at least spend 5 minutes doing something technical. So far it's been easy, right? All right, so maybe the grad students can rest for 5 minutes. Okay. All right, so let me just say quickly. So you take the surface that you get by blowing up P2, 4.4 general points in P2. So if you have an elliptic curve, so actually, as you said, genus 1 curve with n plus 5 marked points, essentially you fix one point, use one point to make it, you know, give an embedding of E into P2, 3 times the point of the embedding. And then you can use an automorphism of P2, and you can move the other, say, points Q1 through Q4 into the 4 general points if you're starting with a general picture, right? Because which we can do, we are trying to find a birational model, so we're going to start with a general elliptic curve with the points and general position at first. So if you do that, then this allows you to lift this embedding from E to P2 to a morphism from E to the surface of the embedding. And then if you you can compute using this adjunction formula, which is essentially created to study the canonical bundle of some variety inside another one. And if you compare, then we see that the sphere E belongs to the anti-canonical domain of the surface, which is a very simple surface which has been studied long ago. So then what happens is using this, you can produce a map from the moduli of genus 1 curves with n plus 5 mark points to Sn, for any n. So essentially what it is that you just use the first 5 points, like the first point to get embedding to P2, and the next 4 points you move to those general positions, and the remaining points go to the points in Sn. So if you look at this, then if you compute the sections of this surface over this anti-K as inverse, then the minus this, whatever you like. This is dimension 6 if you do a simple calculation. And then you get a homomorphism of sheaf. So essentially, the point is that somehow what we do is this Calabi algebra is going to be, so you have this map, M1, 11, and so from here we get a map into this S6, so the surface S is given by blowing up P2 at 4 points, and we take S6, and this is the what happens. The image here is going to be a hypersurface, and it has the trivial canonical bound. So essentially, the way we do it is we just explain. So we have a homomorphism of sheaves on Sn given by this W times the OSn to these naturally from the given thing. Ks inverse tensor, the outer tensor product, n times. And then the kernel, if you think about what it is, so this thing is really the space of sections in W which vanish at these points, C5 to Pn plus 1. That means that if you look at the associated projective space, I'm cutting short a lot of details, but I'm trying to be the main idea. To work it out, then the projective space is just a collection of all the general points in M11. So it's not too complicated, but in any way, you can look at this variety is obtained as some project, this co-kernel. It turned out to be easy to work with the co-kernel and the transpose and the kernel of the kernel, but it's essentially equivalent. And what happens is this Vn is birational, we check to this M1, M+5. So we get another birational model for a moduli of curves of genus 1 with a certain number of mark points. And then we can compute this co-rank of this TFn, then it turns out that it is 6 minus n, which is kind of very nice. It turns out to fit perfectly with no thing, because we're interested in the case when So, and then you get a natural map from this to Sn. If you look at this map from Vn to Sn, n up to 5, you see that this is surjective and the fibers are projective spaces. And so what happens is that this Vn up to n, these are up to n equals 5, it's a rational variety in this case. But n equals 6 becomes very interesting. And it's known, by the way, those things are rational. It also corresponds to the fact that there are no cusp forms in lower weights for SL2C. 12 is the first interesting one. So if you feel like it's enough, you can give another.
Yes, sir.
So in V6 is very interesting, and it turns out this is a divisor where it's given by the vanishing of this function Fn. And by construction, this is a section of KSn inverse. And then that shows that the canonical boundary is trivial. And then you can also make the various Hartsch number computations, and then you see that it has the right thing because, so you get some collab. Yeah, but this construction, just by itself, is not smooth. The singularities, however, dimension at most 5 in this 11-dimensional variety, and it's Gorenstein and has all the properties, so it is a Calabi-Yau variety in the sense I mentioned, but we were working on trying to see if we can get a smooth model for this. But it's quite complicated. Okay, let me mention one more case, maybe I should stop after that, is that level 5 weight 4 case is very interesting also, and what happens is that you take in you take this Hilti curve for point of order 5, because if you're working with gamma 1 and 5, so that defines a morphism, if you look from E to P1 cross P1, just given looking at the linear system of 2O and 2X, where X is the point of order 5, and this identifies genus 1 curves of type 2-2, as they say in P1 cross P1, which are tangent to P1 cross 0 and 0 cross P1 at 1, 0, and 0. And they pass through the points infinity 1, infinity, infinity, 1, infinity. It's kind of a nice diagram. We kind of enjoy doing this. And then if you take O to be 0, 1, and 1, 0, then you get a divisor in P1 to the 4th, and it has trivial canonical bundle. In this case, we can get a smooth model. It's a smooth Calabi-Yau 3-4. Very explicit in this case. So maybe I should have discussed this first in detail. But would have been better, but I'm very interested in delta, so I thought I would really try. Maybe I should just stop and take questions, if any.
Questions?
The only example you have found the Calabi-Yau you like for rigid, or
in all the examples we have found, no, it's not true. There's one, that's what that comes down to uniqueness. So I mean, sometimes we have found one case where there is a rigid Calabi-Yau threefold, but there's also a non-rigid Calabi-Yau threefold in which the 2-1-1-2 thing is occurring there. That's why I was heads when he asked the question. If you get a rigid one, then it is unique. But in general, the question is, it's not clear whether it should be rigid in general. The problem is that we don't know. Like, for example, say if you restrict to weight 4, we don't know how many weight 4 forms of rational coherence. I asked you this in email once. We don't know. And same way, we don't know about how many rigid Calabi-Yau threefolds are there. You know, my gut feeling is that, in fact, you should be able to, in the case of classical modular form, you should be able to attach rigid Calabi-Yaus. Because if you cannot attach rigid Calabi-Yaus, then it's a little strange in a way, because if you attach a threefold, it's not rigid in some sense, but in the 3-0-0-3 splits off, then the 2-1-1-2 splits off, and if you twist it, you get an abelian variety in some sense. So why should this modular form of weight 4 give information about an abelian variety? Shouldn't. So I would expect that is true. But unless the possibility is that there is non-unique and there are lots of Calabi-Yau threefolds, and in some sense the GCD is trivial. So I don't know.
Do you know where to go look when you have non-rational coefficients?
I have some vague ideas. No, not really at this point. No. What we're trying to do is actually move to higher dimensions, because in some sense I find rigid ones boring. Because it's much more interesting when it's non-rigid. So we're thinking about that. So essentially, do you want to hear the general conjecture? No. Okay, I'll tell you later. So essentially, we think very generally that we take, in some sense, even cohomological cusp forms and GLN and sometimes to rational coefficients, then you could predict there should be some Calabi-Yau variety of certain types. So we're trying to get examples. For example, if you believe that general conjecture, like if you take even a classical modular form of weight 2, you can consider all the symmetric powers of it. And they should all correspond to different Calabi-Yau varieties. So we found one corresponding to symmetric cube of x0 of 11. So that's, for example. And it does correspond to a Ziegle modular form. So already we feel like, even for Q-coherence, we are not completely sure it's true, and we don't have enough examples. So I'm not venturing right now. Sorry.
Any more questions?
Do you expect to have good deduction outside
N? Oh, good question, thank you. So, I think that there's, for example, in the classical case, I think there should be good deduction outside 6N. I don't know for sure whether they have good deduction. For example, we don't know. Like, on E boundary, I think there's a solution in who predicted the radio would kill. He said he didn't care because Calabia, which is good reduction everywhere. It's not known. Could be.
Yeah. Did you Calabia radio was still Z?
No. No, no, I'm saying that.
But did you say that?
It's a question.
It's a question.
It's a question. It's open. But there is a smooth projective variety over Q, just good reduction everywhere. Other than non-rational, irrational. Yeah, yes, of course, B1. In our work, it certainly happens that the primes dividing 2 and 3 are problematic. So it's possible that there's another method that's better, and it avoids that. It's certainly possible, but I don't know.
Associated with delta, you don't even have a smooth gradient yet.
As of yet, yes.
That's Calvia.
But I think it looks reasonable that it will. But whatever it is, and it will have good reduction outside 6, I mean, outside 2, but we don't know what will happen to it.
Anything else? So I'd like to thank everyone for coming. Just 2 minutes.